Begin the current daf, Misachim daf mem tes. We continue with the halachas of bir chametz, eliminating the chametz from possession on Erev Pesach. And that is the halacha generally is, as we said, in the sixth hour, or then the Rabbanan went ahead and made earlier zmanim, there's on Erev Pesach, by noontime, is when the person has to eliminate his chametz from his possessions. Now our Mishnah speaks about a unique case. Arba asur shechalis b'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, is on Shabbos itself, what does one do then? And it's on Shabbos time. When is it that you eliminate the chametz? So the Mishnah brings three different opinions. The first opinion is mevarnas hakol lefnei haShabbos. You eliminate everything from before Shabbos, and that's whether it's chulin, whether it's truma. As we'll see, that there is an opinion that will differentiate between the two of them. Except for whatever you're going to have to eat on Shabbos, you have to eat the Shabbos meals. For that, you could leave, but everything else that you're anyways going to eliminate because it's going to be Pesach time on Erev Pesach when you already have to eliminate the chametz and it's not going to be consumed anyways. So you already eliminated from before. Before Shabbos, Div Rameh, that's opinion of Rameh. The second opinion on Mishnah says, Bizmana, no, you do it in its proper time as it's normally done. Whenever it is at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Erev Pesach, whenever the time of that is, at least Midabana, that one has to eliminate it, that's when you do it. You don't do it, you don't have to do it before Shabbos. And the third opinion, Elizabeth Tzaddik Aymer, he says, Truma Malifni HaShabbos, that there's a difference between Truma and Chulun. Truma you eliminate before Shabbos, and that's because you're not going to be able to consume it not by non-Kahanim, and you're not going to be able to give it to the animals of the non-Kahanim. And you can't hold on to it because it's going to be the time of when the chametz becomes aser. And therefore, you're going to eliminate it from before Shabbos. Whereas with chulin, however, regarding chulin, unconsecrated produce, that you don't have to eliminate it. Rather, bisman, you could do it in its proper time because the reason is you might be able to find people over Friday and Shabbos. There's enough people around when it comes to truma, which could only be eaten by kahanim. There's only a certain amount you'll be able to find the kayin and how much they could eat. So therefore, that you do the beer chametz before Pesach, before Shabbos. However, regular chulin, you don't have to. You could do it in its proper time because there might be people that will be able to eat it, and therefore there's no reason to eliminate it before the time that has to be done. So the Gemara brings a brice, a Tanya, that Rabbi Elazar saw the Gemara, he said the following incident, which was like his shita, that the beer of the chametz is not done before Shabbos, that's only by Truma, but rather Chulin is done as it's normally done, even though it's on Shabbos. And he says, Pamachas Shabbos Abba B'Yavna. One time my father stayed for Shabbos in Yavna. V'chal Arba Osir Lias B'Shabbos. And this was the Erev Pesach that was on Shabbos, that means Pesach was on Sunday. Uba Zainin, Mimunash Rabbi Gamliel, and Zainin, who is the appointee of Rabbi Gamliel, he came. But Aman, he said, he gi eis lavaras hachametz. On Shabbos, he said, the time has come to eliminate the chametz. Valachti achar abba, yibarnes hachametz. And I went after my father, and we eliminated the chametz that was on Shabbos. And therefore, he was saying an incident that proves this opinion that one does not have to do the beer of chametz on Erev Pesach. That is possibly by Truma, as his opinion is, whereas according to Chum, you would do everything on Shabbos. However, at least for sure, Chulin, that's what he argues on the first opinion of Rameir in the Mishnah, that one does not have to do it from before Shabbos. Rather, one could do it, even though it's on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with that, and therefore, since there's a possibility that you might find people to eat it, you could do it on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah continues, again, on this halacha of bir chametz, but another unique type of a case. So the Mishnah says three different types of variations of halacha, when one would be required, when he forgot to do the beer chametz, to go ahead and do it and eliminate it. As the Mishnah says, Hahaylech, if someone's going on the 14th of Nisan, that is on Erev Pesach, Lishchetes Pesach, either to go ahead and slaughter his carbon Pesach, which is what's done on after Chatzais and Erev Pesach, V'lomel es benoi, and he's going to either circumcise his son, or V'lechel sudis erisin mebeis chamav, he's going to eat an engagement party by his father-in-law. Again, all these are different mitzvahs that one is going to do. But he recalls that, wait a second, I have chametz in my house. So what does one do? He has to go ahead and eliminate it. So if he has enough time in the day, lachzer levar, to go back home, eliminate, get rid of the chametz, and then go back to go ahead and do the circumcision or bring his carbon pesach and all these different things, then yachzer b'yavar, he should go ahead, he could do both mitzvahs, go back home, eliminate the chametz, and then go back and do the mitzvah that you were planning on doing. Vimlav, and if there's not enough time, if I would have to go back home, I won't be able to do the milah today. I won't be able to do the Karban Pesach. Then mevat the maliboy. Then he nullifies it in his heart. That is because minat Torah, one does not actually have to burn the chametz. He could just nullify it in his heart, say that I'm being mafkrid. It's like earth. It's like nothing to me. And therefore, since that will fulfill it, and if he goes back, which is only going to be a rabbinic part of, as the whole bedikah of the chametz is that, then he's going to lose out on this other mitzvah. He doesn't have to go back. He could just do the bitl. Now the Mishnah moves on to the second category. Let's say Lahatzli is going to save a Jew that's being chased either min hanachrim from non-Jews, u min hanar, from a river, u min alistim, from bandits, u min adleka, from a fire, u min amapailis, or let's say from a collapsed building. In other words, saving a Jewish person's life. Then yivata believe that automatically you just nullify the chametz that you have in your house, even though you're on your way, you're in the hatzalah van, you're going to save somebody's life, and you call, I have chametz in the house, and there you don't have to go back whatsoever, even if there is time to go ahead and do both, because in that Torah it's enough to do with bittul ba'alma just to nullify it, and therefore since you're going to save somebody's life, you don't even if you had time, you don't have to go back and do that. The third category, however, v'lishvei shvises harishus, if let's say someone's going, is on his way now to go to the tchum, to the boundary on Shabbos, that is a person allowed to go 2,000 amas from the edge of his city or from the edge of wherever his residence ends, and he's going there to stay there over, by the nighttime, so that should be the residence where he could be, that he could go another 2,000 amas from there in the direction that he wants to go on the following day. However, it's for an optional purpose. It's for a non-mitzvah purpose to be able to go another 2,000 amas on Pesach. Then the halacha is yachse miyad. Then he has to go back right away, because there's no reason that to allow the person to be negligent on the halacha that he has to do for bir chametz, when what he's going to do is only for a rishus purpose, it's for a voluntary, not for a non-mitzvah purpose. However, as Rashi tells us, that if he was going to acquire a tchum, an area of shvitzas for mitzvah purposes, for example, let's say the following day he wants to be able to go out of the tchum to go ahead and to visit a mourner or to go to a simcha, that is like the halacha when he's going to slaughter his carbon Pesach, which is that if he has enough time, then he has to come back. If not, he would not have to come back, and it could just be mevata b'libah. So that is the halacha that we spoke about, three different categories, about someone that's going to do a mitzvah or a non-mitzvah purpose. However, that was regarding coming back to do the bir of chametz. Now the Mishnah says, "V'chein mi sheyatzei mi'Yerushalayim." A similar halacha regarding the requirement to have to come back or not is similar to someone that's leaving Yerushalayim. V'nisker sheyesh b'yad b'sar kodesh, and he recalls, he realizes that he has sacrificial meat that is from a carbon in his possession. So then the question now becomes if he has to come back to burn that or not, and that is because of regarding b'sar kodesh that goes out of the tchum that it's allowed to be, and there's a certain areas that it's called psul yaitze, that is the mechitza of kachem kalim, of the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, something like a carbon shlam, if it goes out of the walls of Yerushalayim, it becomes pasul and valid, and you have to burn it. So now the halacha is im avar tzayfim, if he already went past the city of tzayfim, where from there is where he could see the Beis Hamikdash, and that's why it's called tzayfim, which is actually looking. So if he already passed that area, sefer b'mkayim, then he could burn it in its place, and they don't require the person to go through the effort and to come back to Yerushalayim to burn it. However, v'mlav, if he didn't yet pass that marker of tzayfim, then chayzer v'sefer l'vnei bira me'atzei me'rocha. Then he comes back and he burns it in front of the bira from the woods of the pyre of the fire that there is by the Beis Hamikdash, as the Gemara says on Chavdalim and Av, that we mentioned, says in the Pasuk, Ba'kodesh Ba'esh Tisarf, that in the holy area, that in the fire you should burn, which is in the place where it's eaten, that's where it's burnt. As Rashi tells us in Masechtas Brachas, that in front of the Bira is a place in Har Abayis, the Temple Mount, where there was the place where they would put all the ashes over there. They would burn all the karbonis of Kachem Kalam that would come invalid, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Vachem. So therefore, this person that he didn't go too far yet, and they can still come back, that is again, depending on, as we said, regarding this mitzvah, burning it by the place of the Har Abayis, do we require or not, depending how far a person went, similar to the halachas that we said regarding chametz, do we require the person to come back to burn his chametz or not? Now, the Mishnah concludes with a machlokes. Va'ad kama hin chayzen. Now, how much of a shear, of a measurement, is it that we require a person to come back and do either the burning of the chametz or the burning of the kachem that he has with him in his possession? Remei says both the chametz that we mentioned, and that he recalls he has chametz in his house, and regarding when he has kachem on in his pocket, let's say his possession, and he realizes it's only bikebeya. It's if he has the size of an egg, then we require him to go back for that chametz and to go ahead, and if he didn't pass seifim, to go back and burn it by the Har Abayis. However, if it's less than that, if it's let's say only the size of kezayis, then by chametz he could just nullify it in his heart, and by psar kodesh he could burn it in the place where he is. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Imer says, Zevezeb b'kezayis. He says that both of them, even the sheir of kezayis, one would have to go back for them. B'chachamayim, in the third opinion, is B'sar kodesh b'kezayis. Regarding kachem meat, there it's even if it's a kezayis. B'chametz b'kebeya, whereas the size of a chametz, that would be required only for the sheir of a kebeya. So now the Gemara asks, regarding one of the cases that we mentioned, we said regarding if someone's going to do a mitzvah purpose, that we said that then it depends. If he has enough time to go back and then to be able to do the mitzvah, then he does. If not, he doesn't have to go back. He's just mevatel b'libur. So now the Gemara asks, Reminu, it seems to be a contradiction to one of the cases. Because we learned in the Braisa, ha'hoylech lechol sudis irisim bebeis chama. If someone's going to eat an engagement meal by his father-in-law, or velishve shvisas rishus, or he's going to have to make a tchum for himself, for a non-mitzvah purpose, then yachsim yad, has to come back right away. So that sounds like, as it's comparing it to shvisas rishus, then you have to come back right away under all circumstances, even if you're not going to have time to do what you're going to do, sounds like it's a non-mitzvah purpose. Yet in our Mishnah, it sounds like for the person to eat his engagement party by his father-in-law's house, that it is a mitzvah purpose. Another Gemara says, Amar Yechanan, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction, because it's a machlekes. Ha, the Braisa that says it's not a mitzvah is Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah says it is Rabbi Yehuda. The time, like, learn the Braisa. Sudis Erison, the engagement meal party, is Rishus. Rabbi Yehuda says that's only voluntary, this party that you're having, it's not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda, a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's actually a mitzvah. It's part of the Nisuin process, and it has a halachic status of a mitzvah, and therefore that is the machlekes between our Mishnah and the Braisa. However, the Gemara does say that the Hashad Amar Rav Chizda, but now that Rav Chizda said, in explanation of this machlekes in the Brais that we just quoted, that machlekes besud the shniya, their whole machlekes was regarding the second meal, and that is because the way that the chasanim, the grooms, used to have it is that after they would have their engagement meal party, then they would go ahead and bring gifts and to the woman that he's engaged to, and then they would have a meal that time. That was where the machlekes was, if that is the sudis mitzvah. Of besud rishonah, the reha kol mitzvah. But however, if Chizda said that everyone agrees the first meal, the actual engagement party, that is going to be, and that is in times of the Gemara where the engagement party had a different halachic status, that suda is going to be considered a mitzvah. Therefore, you could say that it's both the Mishnah and the Braisa are the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And it's not contradictory because our Mishnah said that it is a mitzvah. It's talking about the first meal. Rav Chizda said even Yehuda agrees. The Braisa says that it's not a Sudas mitzvah and they would have to come back under all circumstances. That's talking about by the second meal that according to Rabbi Yehuda is not a Sudas mitzvah. And similarly, the Gemara says, Tanya Lunda Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Ani Loi Shemati, Pshuta says, I didn't hear that it should be a sudis mitzvah, el a sudis erison. Only the suda that's by the engagement, only that. However, not the time that they make a meal when he sends these beautiful gifts, that's not going to be considered sudis mitzvah. And Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi said to him, and this is like Rav Chizda had said, Ani shemati sudis erison visavlanis. I heard that not only is the engagement party considered sudis mitzvah, but even the second party, when he brings over beautiful gifts and then they have a meal, that is also considered a sudis mitzvah. So time we learn the Braisa, the Gemara continues on this theme of sudas mitzvahs, meals that are suda relate, that are mitzvah related meals. Reb Shimon says, Kol suuda she'inu shel mitzvah, any meal that's not a mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to actually have that meal, in tamachachem reshoy lohanes memena, a Talmudic scholar, a tamachachem is not allowed to derive any pleasure from such a meal. So the Gemara asks, what would be considered a suda that's not a mitzvah related? And every suda, you say over Dvar Torah, you have a certain, there's a seim, whatever it is a suda shel mitzvah, what's not? And that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan, kagoyin bas kohen, for example, the daughter of a kohen, who really, she should get married to a kohen, and not to disgrace her family by getting married to a Yisrael. But however, she does get married to a Yisrael, so that intrinsically is a non-mitzvah suda because it's to the contrary. It's something that's a pagam. Similarly, Ubas Tamachachem Lam Aretz, or the daughter of a Tamachachem that gets married to ignoramus. Dam Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbi Yechanan said, Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, when the daughter of a Kohen gets married to Yisrael, Ein Zivugin Eli Yafa, their Shidduch does not work out so well, there's not such good mazel. And the Gemara asks, Mahi, what do you mean, what happens if a Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, gets married to a non-Kohen? Rav Chizda, Oy Almana, either she gets widowed, Oy Gerusha, or she gets divorced, Oy Zera Einla, or she doesn't have any children. As the Pasuk in Be'ikrachav Beis says, that Ubas Kohen Kisil Ezar, that the daughter of a Kohen, when she'll get married to a non-Kohen, and then it says over there, Bas Kohen Kisil Almana, if she'll be a widow, a Gerusha, or divorced, Ve Zera Einla, and she won't have any children. So therefore you see, these are the things that happen to a daughter from a Kohen that gets married to a Zar, to a non-Kohen. But Masnitatan in the Braisa we learned, that Kaivra, that he buries her, again, if this Yisrael marries the daughter of a Kohen, or she buries him earlier than he should have died, or she causes him to be poor. Again, not good things that come out of this. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is it really so that a non-Kohen causes, there's so much problems that come out when he marries the daughter of a Kohen. But Vamer Yechon had said, if someone wants to become wealthy, Yidvak Bizarre Shal Aaron, he should attach himself to the children of Aaron, which obviously means that he's not from the children of Aaron. So we're talking about Yisrael marrying a daughter of a Kohen. And the reason is because Kol Shekin Shetoyer V'Kuna Masharasan, because most definitely then that the Torah together with the Kuna will make him wealthy. So you see that a non-Kohen could marry into the country. It causes blessings if he marries into the children of Aaron a Kohen. And that thing says Loi Kashuk, because it depends, and as the statement itself alludes to that, depends who is it that's marrying into the family of Aaron. Ha b'tama chacham. This that we said that it will cause the person to be wealthy, that's blessing, that's praiseworthy, is a tama chacham. As it said, that Torah or kuhuna, it's the Torah together with the kuhuna, that's a blessing. Ha b'ama arts. This that we said that it's going to be a disgrace for Aaron and there's going to be all these punishments is tumah by an ama arts, ignoramus. That's a ganai for Aaron a kohen, and therefore that's where all the punishments comes if Yisrael marries a bas kohen. So the Gemara illustrates this with different Tamil Chacham or different people that they illustrated this concept about marrying into the family of Aaron HaKohen, that there could be either bracha or klala chas v'shalom depending on the status of the person. Rabbi Yeshua Nasav Kahanta Cholash. Rabbi Yeshua married a daughter of a Kohen and he became ill. He said, Aaron doesn't want that I should attach myself to his children. That he should have a son-in-law like me. In other words, he was trying to say that it's a gnai, and therefore that's like what we had said regarding Amma Aretz. He was saying that obviously I'm not worthy, and that's why I'm becoming ill. Whereas we find Rav Idabar Oven, Nosav Kahanta, he married a woman that was a kahanas. Nafku Minei, Trei B'nei Smichi, and he had two children that had smicha. That is Rav Sheshes B'ri Davidi and Rav Yishu B'ri Davidi. So there was bracha that came out of it. Again, because of Tamachacha, marrying a Bas Kain, brings about bracha. Amra Papa said, Eloi Nesiv Nekanta, had I not married the daughter of a Kain, Loyatri, I would not have become wealthy. Again, the bracha that comes out, Ma'ashrasan. Whereas we find them Rav Kahana said, Eloi Nesiv Nekanta, had I not married a Kahanas, Loy Geloi, I would not have gone into Gals into exile. And that is Rav Kahana, as the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Kofi Zayin Menav, was forced to flee from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. However, Amr Levi said to him, what do you mean? B'hala makam targali. So you went into exile, you went to makam of Torah, Eretz Yisrael. That's not a bad thing. But he says, no, loy giloy kidigali inshi. I did not go into exile like other people do. In other words, other Talmidei Chacham, you're right, they leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael because this great yeshiva is there. However, they go willingly, and I had to go against my will because of the fear of the government, and that was being chased out. So that is considered gals, and that was a punishment for me for marrying a bas kohen. Amr B'Yitzchak. So we spoke about the importance of a sudas mitzvah. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, now whoever derives pleasure from a non-mitzvah suda, ultimately he goes into exile. Shlomo, it says a pasuk in Amos, va'oichlim kar mitzayin, that they eat the fattened sheep of the flock, va'agolim mitoich marbik, and the calves from the stall, which is obviously a reference to eating large quantities of meals, which are sudos rishos. It says over there, l'chein, and therefore at yigla b'resh goyel, and therefore they will go into exile at the head of the exiles. Again, showing this concept that someone that eats these sudos rishos, not mitzvah related for mitzvah intention types of meals, then that causes galus to the person. So continuing on this topic of the sudos mitzvahs, Tarban learned in the Braisa. Any Talmudic scholar that increases his meals, no matter where it is that he is, if he's eating too much, ultimately he will destroy his home, and he will widow his wife, and he will orphan his children. And that is because he's going to need his fix, he's going to need to have all the food that he desires, and he's not going to be able to have it, so therefore he's going to go into exile seeking out food. So therefore his wife will be a widow, and his child will be an orphan in his lifetime because he won't be around to be there for them. V'tamud mishtakech mimen, he's going to forget his learning. That's because he's not going to have time to chazer, to review his learning, because he's going to be so busy going after his desires. U'machloikes rabbis boislav, and many arguments will come onto him, either because he's going to forget his learning, so people are going to be arguing regarding the halachas that he's saying, or because of all the creditors that are chasing after him for the money that he had used to buy all the food that he wanted. And no one's going to listen to him. He's going to disgrace the name of heaven. Could look at this Talmud Chacham, what he's doing. V'shem Rabbi, the name of his teacher. V'shem Av, the name of his father. V'goyim v'shem Ra'aloi, he's going to cause a bad name for himself. Ulevanav, and for his children. Ulevnevanav, Adsev Kaldesim, but all his children until the end of all the generations. To which Gemara asks, what is this that's causing the bad name for his children. So the Gemara brings four different terms that people are going to call his children. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Karile, they're going to call his children Bar Mochim Tanuri, the sons of the oven warmer. And that is because he's always warming the oven because he's always eating so much. He's a glutton. So that's what they're going to call his sons. Rava Amar Rava says, Bar Merakid Bekuvi, the son of the one who dances in the bars. That is like those who make litzanas, they make jokes, and they're dancing in the bars that people should give them something to drink. That's what they're going to call his children, because this is the person, what happens to him when he continues seeking after his physical pleasures. Rapapa, he says, Bar Malachich Pinchi, the son of the plate licker. Again, because he's someone that he lusts after all this physical desires. And Shmaya Amar, he says, Bar Mach Rava, the son of the folding croucher. Like Rashi says, the word mach means to fold. As the Gemara in Brachas and the Test says that, like it said by the donkey driver, Mach Sakach, go ahead and fold your sack. So this type of person, mach, is that he folds his clothing. And Rava is that he lays down and he sleeps. In other words, those like the drunkards, they don't have time to even go home and sleep on their bed. They just fold their clothing. They take their jacket off or whatever it is, their shirt, and they lay down and they sleep over there. That's what they're calling this person's son, because of this person, what happens to him, that's why it causes such a bad name for his children, because of all these different things of seeking after when he's marbe besudas sebechal makam. Tanabana, let no brisa. A person should always sell anything that it is that he has, and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And this is what our Gemara is talking about, the discrepancies and the levels of what a Talmud Chacham is, in contrast to Talmud Aretz. So you should do everything that's possible and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. The reason being, because if ultimately he's going to die or going to exile, and he won't be around to bring up his children, he'll be guaranteed that his children will be Talmud Chacham, because of the fact that his wife is the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. However, he should not marry the daughter of an ignoramus, because if he does die or he goes into exile, ultimately his children will follow after the mother, who is the daughter of the Amoritz, and his children will come Amoratzim. Tell him, we learn the Braisa. A person should do everything that's possible, sell everything that he has, and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. The Yasi beat a Talmud Chacham, and also marry off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. And Moshe, this is an analogy, le'inveh ha-gefen, to the vine of grapes, be'inveh ha-gefen, that then mixes together with the vines of other grapes. Davana miskava, it's a beautiful thing, and that's accepted upon people to see the grapevines mixing amongst each other. V'lo yisabas ha-ma'aretz, however, he should not marry the daughter of ha-ma'aretz, because that is Moshe, le'inveh ha-gefen, be'inveh ha-sneh, to the grapevines that's mixing into the vines of a thorn bush. And that is davakar, that's something that's disgusting, that's unpleasant, and we continue on to Amud Beis, Ve'ein Miskabel, and it's not accepted by people that hear such a thing. It's not something that should be like that, and hence a person that's a Talmud Chacham should not be marrying the daughter of Am Ha'aretz. Tanabang, look in the Braisa. As we said before, a person should do everything that's possible. Although he might not have any money, it might be hard, he should sell everything that he has and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And that is loy matzah bas Talmud Chacham. However, if he cannot marry, sometimes there's limitations, he can't marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, then yisa bas gedoy l'hador, then he should marry the daughter of the great ones of the generation. That means to people of great deeds and tzaddikim. Loy matzah bas gedoy l'hador. But let's say he doesn't find the daughter of the gadol hador to marry, then yisa bas rosh ha-kenesis, then he should marry the daughter of those that are in charge of the shuls, of the assemblies of the Jewish people. Like matzah bas rosh ha-kenesis, let's say he doesn't find such a woman to marry, yisa bas gabi tzedakah, and then should marry the daughter of the one who's in charge of the tzedakah. And that is because they do not appoint a person in charge of the charity unless if he's upstanding and righteous, and therefore you should marry such a woman. Like matzah bas gabi tzedakah, if it doesn't find the daughter of the gabi tzedakah, yisa bas malam tzedakah, you should marry the daughter of those who teach the little children, the rabbis from the schools. However, the last thing, he should never marry the daughter of Am Aretz. Nation sheketz, because they're vermin. These are the Amaratzim, and the Shasein sherets, and their wives are insects. And as Rashi explains, because they're not careful in mitzvahs. Val b'nesein who I am regarding their daughters, which is who he wants to marry. It says the pasuk in Devarim, Arur sheichiv mikol behema, cursed will be that who sleeps with the animals, and that is because these girls that he wants to marry are similar to animals, and that they don't have any heart to understand things, they don't have the capacity to appreciate the things of Torah, and therefore a person should not marry such a person, and if he does, it'll be considered sheikhev im abehema. Tanya, learn the braisa. Rebbe Aimer, Rebbe says, Am Ha'aretz, an ignoramus, asu lecha basa, such a person is not allowed to eat meat. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Vayikra. Zeis Tarius HaBehem HaBa'ir. So there, it's the literal translation is that this is the law of the animals and the birds and the different things that regarding those halachas. However, the Gemara interprets this, Kaloisik b'Torah, whoever toils in the words of Torah, which is the word Zeis Tairas, then Mutar Lechol Basar Behem HaVa'if. Such a person could eat the meat of an animal and a bird, which is what the Pasuk says, HaBehem HaVa'if. Whoever does not toil in the words of Torah, which that's a reference to the Amoraites, Asar Lechol Basar Behem HaVa'if, he's not allowed to eat the meat of a behema and a bird. Amar Rabbi Elazar, again, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Ama Aretz, regarding Ama Aretz, Mutula Neichra, you're allowed to stab him, B'yem Kippurim, Shechalis B'Shabbos. Even though it's Yom Kippur, that's on Shabbos, you're allowed to stab him. Showing again this contempt that the Tamid HaChacham have for the Amar Aretz. Amar Le Tamid, his student said, Rebbe, Amar Le Shechte, why do you say stab him? Say slaughter him. So Amar Lehem, he said, no. Zeh Toin Bracha, V'zeh Ein Toin Bracha. The slaughtering would require a bracha. And that we don't want to do when we're stabbing in Am Ha'aretz. So therefore we say stabbing, which doesn't even require a bracha. Amar Belaza. Belaza continues on this theme, and he says, Am Ha'aretz, asos lavas may bederach. You're not allowed to be, not allowed to go escort together with Am Ha'aretz when you're walking on the road. Shnema, I'll not tell you, because it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, ki hi chayecha v'orich yimecha, because the words of Torah are your life and they lengthen your days. Now, if al chayiv lo chayis, if the Am Ha'aretz is not concerned about his own life, to learn Torah and to live, so definitely regarding his friend's life, he definitely is not concerned. And therefore we're concerned that maybe he's going to kill the person that he's walking with because he's not concerned about his own life, which is chayecha v'erich yimecha, because he doesn't learn Torah. Most definitely he's not going to be concerned about your life. Amar b'shulma b'nachmeni amar b'yechnan. Amo aretz, mutu l'cher kadak. An amo aretz, you're allowed to rip him open like a fish. And amar b'shulma b'yitzchuk umigabay. And that's even on the top. Because when you rip a fish on the top, he's not for sure not going to live anymore. As the Gemara says in Shechita Schul and Nafchafal Marav, that if you rip a door, you rip a fish open, then it's metame in the oil that it's in right away. Even if it's shaking, it's considered dead. Which Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explains over there, that's toma migabe from the top. When you rip it up from the top, it's most definitely dead. And that's the reference that we're saying what one can do. Tama Aretz. So the Gemara explains some of this contempt, that where it's coming from, Talmid Chacham, that it stems from the Amoratzim themselves. Tanya, Amar Rebbe Akiva. Kishe Yisiam Aretz, Rebbe Akiva, the great Rebbe Akiva says, when I was the Amar Aretz, he was an ignoramus in his earlier years, Amarti, I said, Mi'itin li Talmud Chacham, who's going to give me a Talmudic scholar? Va'anashchena kechamer, and I'll bite him like a donkey. So Amar Talmid, his student said to him, Rebbe, Amar Kekalev, why'd you say like a donkey? Say like a dog. We know dogs bite. Amar Lehem, he says, no. Zeh, a donkey, neishach v'shever etzem. It bites and it breaks the bone when it bites. V'zeh neishach v'neishav etzem. However, I didn't want to say just like a dog, because a dog bites but doesn't break the bone. That was the contempt that Amaratzim have, Tamid HaChacham, and Tamid HaChacham respond in kind. Tanya Lina Braisa. Hayirmeyo Eimer. Kol amasi bite le'am ha'aretz. Whoever marries off his daughter to ignoramus, kilo kaifsa, as if he's tying her down, u'manich lefne'ari, and placing her in front of a lion, as he explains. Just like a lion, it pounces and it consumes right away. It doesn't have any embarrassment for what it's doing. That is the custom of the ignoramuses. He hits and then he's intimate with her. He's not embarrassed whatsoever, as Taisa explains. That the lion pounces and eats and it doesn't wait until the animal dies. So to ignoramus, he doesn't wait until his wife is appeased. He just hits and he does what he wants to. And again, this is a little bit of explanation for us why there was so much contempt for the Talmid Chacham to engage with the Amoratzim to understand what we meant by Amoratz, the level of contempt that there was for the Amoratzim, for Torah and for Talmid Chacham and anything that has this higher level of standard of purity of thought. Tanya learned the Braisha, but let's say, Il Mali on the Tzrichalem Lamaso Matan. Were we not necessary, in other words, us, the Talmid Chacham, if we weren't necessary for the Amoratzim, for their food and to help them out with what they need, they would most definitely kill us. Tanya Reb Chiya, Kala'isik b'Torah lefnei Amoratz. He says, whoever learned toils in the words of Torah in front of an Amoratz or ignoramus, kilu boil arusasa b'fanim. It's as if he's being intimate with the woman that he's engaged to. And that is, in other words, it's very embarrassing for the Amoratz to see the Talmid Chacham engaged in learning. Shnema, as it says the pasuk in Devarim, Torah tzivolano Moshe. Moshe commanded us the words of Torah. Mayrasha, it's a heritage. Now, al tikri mayrasha, don't read it mayrasha, an inheritance, a heritage. Ela ma'oyrasa, rather means that it's an engaged, and that is as the pasuk ends, mayrasha kilis Yaakov. It's considered as a betrothed woman to the entire assembly of the Jewish people. And therefore, it's not just the Talmid HaChacham's Torah, it's all of the Jewish people's Torah. And hence, it's considered the Mayrasa, the engaged woman of also the Am Haaretz. And when we're being intimate with the words of Torah, learning with it, toiling in it in front of the Am Haaretz, it's embarrassing to him because it's as if we're being Baila Rusasai Bifanov. So then the Gemara continues, G'dayla Sinna Shasayna Ami Haaretz L'Talmid HaChacham. It's so great, and it's even greater, the hatred that ignoramus has for the Talmudic scholars, even greater than the hatred that idol worshippers have for the Jewish people, and the wives of Amaratzim have an even a greater sin. Similarly, Tana Wittin Abraisa, Shana Upir, someone that actually learned, he was a Talmud Chacham, and he learned the words of Torah, but then he removed himself. And he knows how much the Talmud Chacham are, that they disgrace and hold in contempt the Amaratzim, and how despicable they are in the eyes of Talmid Chacham. So he hates Yosef Mekulin. He hates Talmid Chacham more than the idol worshippers and more than Amaratzim. And that's the idea over here, why the Amaratzim hate more than the idol worshippers, because the greater the level the person is, which just by virtue of being a Yisrael, and then for sure Shana Pirsh that he was a Talmid Chacham, then he left that path. Definitely he hates even more, because once you reach such a high level, then you can't, just like there's Daim, Chai, Tzemech, there's all these different levels, you can't go back to a lower level, you go even lower than what it actually was. And therefore, Amaratzim, and even more, Shana Pirish, hated Talmid Chacham even more. And that is mirrored by the contempt that Talmid Chacham have for the Amaratzim, because of their contempt, and the low level that they have in Taharas of a Jewish lifestyle. Tarabayim, well, in the Braisa. Shishu Dvarim Nemer Ba'amei Ha'aretz. There are six things that I said regarding Am Ha'aretz. Ein Moishlehem Eidus. We do not give over to them. In other words, we don't call them to hear something, to say, oh, we need witnesses for this. We don't call them to be witnesses. Ve'ein Mekab Menei Eidus. And we also do not accept from them their testimony. Third of all, Ve'ein Megal Lehem Said. We do not tell them any secrets. In other words, something that we need to be considered to be concealed, we don't tell them, because then they're going to go ahead and gossip and tell everyone about it. We do not make them appointed regarding the properties of orphans, because they're suspected regarding theft. And we do not appoint them the one in charge about the tzedakah treasury, again, because of the concerns that we have with them. We also do not walk with them on the road, again, because of that. They're not concerned about their own life, definitely not going to be concerned about our lives. And some say, we don't even call out regarding their lost items. That is generally the zechi. If someone finds a lost object, he has to call it out. The Gemara says in El Metzias, but Metzias Chavav Menav. However, an Ama Aretz, an ignoramus, he's not what the Pasuk calls that you have to return the Aveda of Achicha, of your brother, because he's not what the Gemara there calls Eisim Aisimcha. He's not considered your brother because he doesn't do what you do. He's not in the Jewish people in the sense of doing the mitzvahs and the level of Torah that is necessary for a Jewish person. And therefore, you won't even have to call out his lost object. If you could tell it from Am Ha'aretz, you could just keep it. Whereas Batana Kama, the reason why he didn't say that, and he would hold that you would have to call out the Aveda of the Am Ha'aretz, is because Zimna Denafig Minei Zar Ma'alya V'Achle. Sometimes it can happen that the children, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren of the Am Ha'aretz will be someone that's fit, that is a, let's say, a Talmud Chacham, and that person who will be roi for, will consume, will be able to utilize that Aveda that's being lost by his great-grandfather. The Shnemlik says, the Pasuk in Eiv, Yachin, a person prepares, Vitzadik Gilbosh, and the righteous ends up wearing it, and therefore you're right, although because he's Am Haaretz, it's not deserving, but because that he might have children, grandchildren that are worthy, therefore one would have to call it out and return it to the Am Haaretz. Now the Gemara continues discussing our mission that said v'chemisha yatzin. Similarly, regarding someone that goes out from Yerushalayim, and therefore now the Besar Kodesh became invalid. So then the halacha is that depending how far he went, if he's going to have to come back or not. So then we had a machlekes in the mission regarding how much, even if let's say you didn't pass tzayfim and you have to go back to Har Habayis, to the place the Lefnei Habira, which is from the Atzei Merocha, and burn it over there. How much is it? So we had a machlekes if it's kezayis or kebeyim. So now the Gemara asks, Lememer, is that to say, as we see in our Mishnah, the Remeir Sever, Kebeyu Dechash, Remeir obviously considers the size, only if it reaches at least the size of a Kebeya is considered significant. And then you would have to go back, A, to burn your Chametz, and also B, regarding to go back to burn the Besar Kodesh if you didn't pass Tzayfim yet. Rebbe Huda Sever, Kezayis, Namichash, whereas Rebbe Huda holds that even a Kezayis is considered significant, and that is you would have to go back to burn the Chametz and go back to burn the Kodshim in Yerushalayim. But Verminu, we have a contradiction in Brachas that seems the exact opposite. There the Mishnah says, Ad Kama Heimazam. how much would be considered that everyone has to eat to join in zimun. And that is when three people eat together a meal. It says in the Mishnah over there that chayav and lazaman, they have to join together and say, Rabbi Yisrael Mevel and Bench, and Rabbi Yisrael Mevarech, and they're not allowed to separate, they have to do this zimun together. So how much does each one have to eat to be considered that they're joining in zimun? So the first opinion says, ad kezayis, Rabbi Yehuda Imer, ad kebeya, until an egg. Now that, again, that seems the exact opposite of what we just said. Rabbi Yehuda said over here that it's going to be kezayis, and that is the other opinion was saying that it was kebeya, and here in the Mishnah Brach, it's the reverse. So the first Teretz the Gemara brings them, Rabbi Yechanan, Mukhlef HaSashit. You're right, you have to switch it around. Obviously, that when our Mishnah says it, it was the reverse of opinions as we find the Brachas. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no. Loyal Mleitebach, you don't have to switch around the Gersais. And although it's the exact opposite, but it's not a contradiction because they're two different contexts. Hasan Bekroi Pligi, there the Machlekes regarding Zimun was a Machlekes, how to interpret a Pasuk. And Hacha Besvar Pligi, here regarding the Halachas of going back to burn the Chametz and the Kachim, was a Machlekes in logic. As the Gemara explains, Hasan Bekroi Pligi, there they were arguing about how much has to be consumed to have Zimun. That was a Machlekes, how to interpret a Pasuk. Remeir Savir, Remeir holds, when it says in the Pasuk V'achaltu, which is that Pasuk is the source that we learn in Berachas Hamaz in Masechtas Berachas, Nafim Ches Mabez, it says V'achaltu that you will eat. Now, that what is that a reference to? Zuachila, that's a reference to eating. V'savata, and then it says you'll be satiated, that's a reference to Zushtia, because when one drinks in a meal, that makes him satiated. Without drinking, he's not going to be fully satisfied. And therefore, v'achalta is telling you eating, sabata is drinking, so v'achila b'kezayis. So when it says v'achalta, as we know it's throughout the Torah, when it says eating, it's a reference to kezayis, and therefore, that's why the shir over there for Birchas HaMazon is also going to be a shir of kezayis. But Rabbi Hudas, he holds, the reason why he says it's kebeya is because it says v'achalta v'savata. He interprets that pasuk, you will eat and you'll be satiated, that it's one criteria. It's an eating that will satiate you. What type of eating? You're right, general eating, just eating itself is a kezayis. What's the type of eating that will satiate you? That's the size of a kebeya. And therefore, that's why he holds that it's a beya. Again, that's just an interpretation of the pasuk. However, here that it was the reverse because they were arguing in Svara regarding this halacha. The Remeir holds that chazarasi, to go back to burn either the chametz or the kachim, and that is, this halacha is only rabbinic. And that the shir of Remeir held that was based, he said it was similar to the halacha of ketumas, like the tumah of the item. For example, the tumah of oichlin is always the shir of a kebeya. So therefore, this item, whether it be this bread that is going back to burn the chametz or this kachim, just like this item that we're saying, what is the shir that's significant, you have to go back to burn it, is some other area of significance, which is the halacha of tumah. And that is matumas of a kebeya, just like we find regarding the tumah of the item, is significant only if the shir of a kebeya, af chazaras of a kebeya, so too regarding going back, is also the shir of a kebeya. Whereas Rabbi Hudasavah, he held the chazaras, the chiv to go back and burn either the chametz or the kachim and continue to have a non-man alf, he compared it to ki-isurei, like the isra of the item. And that is, chametz is usur in the size of a kezayis. Also, similarly, the meat of kachim becomes invalid once it leaves the area of the wall of Yerushalayim, is also the size of a kezayis, and that's when it becomes usur. So, ma-isur be-kezayis, af chazaras be-kezayis. So just like the isra of the item is the size of kezayis, so therefore he equated the halacha of going back also to that halacha again, which there are two different halachas, tumah and iser, and third of all, this chiv, the rabban of going back. But that was their machlekes, which one you would compare it to regarding its significance, and therefore has nothing to do with their machlekes regarding over their mesechtes brachas, because there that was a drash of a pasuk, and here it's regarding this logic about what we'd compare it to, and therefore there's no problem that there's svaras hafuchas. And then the Gemara concludes, Tanya let nebraisa, a totally different opinion that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Reb Nosson Naimi says, Zev v'zeh k'shtei beitzim. Both the halach of going back for chametz and for besar kodesh is the size of two eggs. However, the Chum did not agree to that opinion. And that's either because it's either kezayis or kebeya, but most definitely, or one is kezayis, one is a kebeya. Those are three opinions on Mishnah. However, everyone agrees, not like him, that it would not require the size of two eggs on each one of them.